Hey, welcome to Space Gab. This is Mike Coletta. It's the 26th of January, 2022. Space Gab can be heard at www.spacegabpodcast.com, which takes you directly to my Anchor FM site where Space Gab is hosted. Also, it can be heard at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and a number of other podcast venues. Well, Space News. At Space News Inc. on Twitter, here's some of the highlights they've just sent out. FTC sues to stop Lockheed Aerojet merger. Stellogic completes SPAC merger. Comtech rejects takeover bid. Blue Origin buying Honeybee Robotics. And ISAR Aerospace wins £10 million launch prize. You can see more of those stories at the Twitter feed. On my Twitter feed, actually, I have a link, and that's twitter.com/Mike_Coletta. Or you can go right to the Space News Inc. Twitter feed and read their stories. Oh, look at this. China's Tiangong space station gets decorated. CNSA Watcher tweets out, ready to celebrate Lunar New Year in Tiangong space station with New Year ornaments set up by the astronauts. HD full video. And there's a link there on my Twitter feed, or you can go to the CNSA Watcher's Twitter feed and see the China's Shenzhou 13 crew, how they decorated the Tiangong space station with these Lunar New Year ornaments. Pretty colorful. I'm looking at it right now, but hey, go check it out. No hand cars, air cars. What's next? Personal rockets you're going to be able to take to work? Well, looks like the Slovak company Klein Vision received the first European aviation safety certificate for its car aircraft hybrid. It says here the two-seat prototype called Air Car has already completed more than 200 takeoffs and landings with a total flying time of over 75 hours. Whoa, can you, I just can't, I mean, whenever you're watching a morning or evening traffic report on a news station, your local news station, you see sometimes how many accidents there are just on with vehicles on the road. Can you imagine now they've got these commercials with these, you know, hands-free driving cars? I mean, you can take your hands off the wheel and just let it go. Who the heck would want to do that? I'll tell you, I will never own anything like that, never. I want to have control of my vehicle. And now you've got these hybrid cars / aircrafts. Can you, I can only imagine what, it's just, I mean, I don't know how popular these things would be, but what are they thinking? Well, this morning, up at the ISS, the International Space Station, the NanoRacks launcher deployed two CubeSats, the DALI CubeSat, and then Target CubeSat. And I did post a video on my Twitter feed if you'd like to go see the replay of those satellites, those CubeSats being deployed by the NanoRacks launcher up there at the ISS. Successful launch is what they say. Sometimes I'll watch the old episodes of the Antique Roadshow from the UK. And one of those episodes yesterday had something kind of interesting. They actually had a 1960s wooden toy from Russia depicting a rocket that had CCCP on the side. And when you disassembled this rocket, it had two cosmonauts inside this little wooden rocket. One was a male cosmonaut, and the other a female cosmonaut. Kind of interesting. I've seen these toys, the type toys like that. You know, it's one of those things where there's, you can disassemble these wooden items, and there's little trinkets inside each layer. Well, that's what that rocket was. I actually have a photo of it from that roadshow on my Twitter feed, twitter.com/Mike_Coletta, if you want to go check it out. It was kind of cool. They were saying that was from the 1960s, And they said it was pretty rare, but it was kind of neat seeing a male and a female cosmonaut associated with this 1960s version rocket. I know I've talked about this in the past, where China and Russia were teaming up to possibly build a lunar station on the moon. Well, here's a little update. This says the agreement between Russia and China on cooperation in the creation of a lunar station is almost ready and may be signed soon, said the Russian ambassador to China, Andrei Denisov, and I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. According to the plan, the creation of the station will begin no earlier than 2035. So China and Russia, their space agencies apparently, and who knows, maybe even what could happen by then, you could even have civilian commercial entities involved in something like that. But this is a cooperating team effort, I guess, between Russia and China. Now, I'll keep you updated on that once they do actually sign that document, and probably we'll hear more about the planning stages after that document is signed. Well, China has its second launch of 2022. It says here, CNSA Watcher again tweets out, at UTC 2344, January 25th, the LSAR Land Exploration 01A L-band radar satellite was successfully launched by CZ4C Y-29 rocket from Inner Mongolia. This is the 407th launch of Long March rocket family. The video there is on my Twitter feed. There's a link. And so that's number two for Chinese launches in the year 2022. This is super interesting. This is Anatoly Zak, and he is a Twitter handle Russian Space Web. He tweets out, a proposed timeline for the assembly of the Russian post-ISS space station. Six components to be launched from 2027 to 2030. Wow. And along with that tweet is a, looks like a slide. It's during a slide presentation, a screen capture of this slide presentation. Let me go on this thread here and see if I can translate. No, there's no ability to translate here. It's in Russian. But you can see via this screenshot what kind of what the space station possibly might look like. But imagine that, a post-ISS space station put together by Russia. Now, we've talked about in the past a number of commercial entities that are going to be funded by NASA to come up with some designs for a post-ISS space station. But this looks like it's something separate altogether, which might be very interesting, along with that Axiom space station that they're putting together once it's just disconnected from the ISS, the modules that I've talked about so many times. And then those three companies, commercial companies, that are selected on a contract to provide preliminary drafts and plans of a station that will go up there after the ISS is decommissioned. But here we have a completely different object that might be in the sky, a Russian post-ISS space station. Wow, this is big news, I think. This one people are going to be following, I know for sure. Well, Southgate Amateur Radio News puts out a tweet. Two spacecraft comprised of wood or using wooden framing are hoping to launch this year and next. One will carry an amateur radio payload. I do believe one of the previous podcasts I talked a little bit about satellites made of wood. Well, here's an update. So interesting. One of them will have an amateur radio payload, which means amateur radio operators will be able to use that either for communication or reception, or in both, obviously. But made of wood, either the framing or comprised of wood. That'd be interesting. I know they're talking about doing satellites using, printed type satellites with the new methods of printing they have with different composites and things like that. But this one's wood, so we'll have to wait and see. I'm interested in this one for sure, especially since it's got an amateur radio payload. I've talked about it in the past. I'm an amateur radio operator. Actually, I just changed my call sign. I told you that I'm going to be relocating to Oklahoma in the very near future, and I have a new call sign. It's Kilo Oscar 5 Alpha Oscar Kilo KO5AOK. That's my new ham radio call sign. So we'll watch this develop. Wooden satellites. Imagine that. More North Korean missiles have been launched. AP, North Korea test fired two suspected cruise missiles in a fifth round of weapons launches this month. South Korean officials say as military might amid virus-related difficulties and prolonged freeze in nuclear talks with the U.S., their tweet says. So, North Korean missiles. And this, we haven't seen the last of this. They're starting to beat their chest, North Korea, as many of our adversaries have been for obvious reasons, and which I'm not going to go into on this podcast. But throughout the news, with the escalation of so many things, and the opinions of so many news organizations pretty much tell you, why a lot of this is happening. But, this is the new world right now, anyway, what we're facing at this time. But North Korea launching some more missiles, and I'm guessing I'll be reporting this kind of news in future podcasts, unfortunately. Well, Space News tweets out, Japan's H-3 rocket further delayed by engine woes. Well, engine woes. Well, you want to go check out that story if you'd like to read it. I got a link on my Twitter feed. And the Shenzhou 13 crew is celebrating 100 days on China's Tiangong Space Station. So January 23rd is the 100th day of Shenzhou 13 crewed mission in Tiangong Space Station. This will be the first crewed CNSA mission during which astronauts celebrate Chinese Lunar New Year, February 2nd, in orbit. And earlier we talked about them decorating the Tiangong Space Station for that celebration. Well, on the 24th, was the splashdown of Dragon, SpaceX Dragon, Cargo Dragon, confirmed. Completed SpaceX's 24th resupply mission to the International Space Station. And along with the Dragon, it usually carries down garbage and any scientific experiments that were needing to come back to Earth for further investigation and experimentation. But mostly, probably a lot of the garbage that's going to be disposed of properly. But success, the release and the splashdown all went according to plan, they say. And the James Webb Space Telescope update. They tweet out, NASA Webb Telescope tweets out, Home on Lagrange. home on the Lagrange. We successfully completed our burn to start NASA Webb on its orbit of the second Lagrange point, L2, about a million miles, 1.5 million kilometers from Earth. It will orbit the Sun in line with Earth as it orbits L2. So, I'll tell you, I read a really interesting article on Science News magazine the other day that talked about the project, the James Webb Space Telescope project, and it was very detailed, and it's amazing. All the things that had to happen for that to be successful. So far, everything has happened just as they had planned, most likely, that we've heard anyway. Now it's at L2, And now it's got, there'll be some more testing to be done and all that, but I think it won't be too long before the actual telescope starts its science mission, and that's very, very exciting. But all that needed to happen, and many of us have followed all those items that needed to have happen as they, most of them, I followed it through on Twitter, but and they shared so much on this mission. They've given so much information on this mission, and it's most of it has all been good news. So, and this is one more piece of good news. So we'll follow the James Webb Space Telescope as it orbits at the L2 point, and hopefully will soon start its mission and start sharing data and photos and whatever else it's going to be sharing with us for us space enthusiasts here back on planet Earth. This is kind of a cool space story that's local to me. I was reading it in our local paper. The headline says "Springs Astronaut to Donate Key." What it is I guess John Harrington is an astronaut that went NASA astronaut that went up into the space station when that program was still going on, and he, the article, and I did put a link with the article on there on my Twitter feed, twitter.com/Mike_Coletta. But a very interesting article to read, and it shared his history of getting into the space program, and then how he went up into the space shuttle, and how he did a number of different spacewalks. And one thing that he was able to take up to space with him was a key to the city. I guess the Colorado Springs mayor at that time gave him the key to the city and a document to take up to space, which he did. And he had it aboard the space shuttle during his trip, and returned back to Earth. And that was a long time ago, but just recently he came across it again, and is going to be donating it to the Colorado Springs Pioneers Museum. And they're going to be displaying that key to the city in the museum, along with the story of its trip to space and back, and John Harrington's story also. So it's a very good, if you'd like to read the article, I actually did a screenshot of the newspaper article from the newspaper itself. You can read it. It's actually, you can expand it and actually read the print. But kind of interesting. So for Colorado Springs individuals, it's kind of a, I probably won't be here. I'll probably be gone to Oklahoma, leaving Colorado, moving to Oklahoma. So I probably won't be able to see that key to the city in the Pioneers Museum, but some of you probably will be able to see it. But interesting, very interesting story. It's a nice local space news story, and key to the city that flew to space, go into the Pioneers Museum. Hey, look at this. After 7 years, a spent Falcon 9 rocket stage is on course to hit the moon. I guess it's going to be hitting the far side of the moon, and I guess they're kind of excited about that because it'll give scientists a peek at well, whatever they peek at when a rocket stage hits the moon. But interesting. So yeah, I wonder, how what will actually happen to the lunar surface when a Falcon 9 rocket strikes that surface of the moon. What kind of crater will it create and all that? I was reading another article this week about quasi satellites that they are orbiting the Earth. And when they say quasi satellites, they're talking about they think they're pieces of the moon that have been ejected by some kind of a strike. When the craters of the moon, you see the craters of the moon up there, that material had to be forced out, and some of it, landed elsewhere on the lunar surface, but some of it probably went into orbit. And now they're calling those quasi satellites. And I guess at some observations they've had of some of those quasi-satellites, which are chunks of material of different sizes, have reflective properties of things that would probably come from the moon, is what the article was talking about. So I wonder if a SpaceX Falcon 9 booster, a rocket impacting the lunar surface, the moon, will that possibly cause quasi-satellites to orbit the Earth? I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Well, two satellites for a once classified U.S. military program to track and inspect other spacecraft in orbit, a mission the top Space Forces general equates to a neighborhood watch. Lifted off on Friday, that was, this is from January 22nd, on a United Launch Alliance Atlas V rocket. Neighborhood watch satellite, that's kind of cute. They kind of keep an eye on other satellites in the neighborhood, so to speak. And it looks like Astra has successfully static tested their rocket. They're on the Florida Space Coast, and now they're saying that they will announce a launch date and time when they receive their license from the FAA. And I talked a little bit about Astra launching from Cape Canaveral last week, but I do have a video, if you'd like to see it, linked on my Twitter feed, of that Astra rocket static fire test. Well, that's it. Until next time. Space Cowboys.